Welcome to Near Death Experience Podcast. I'm Chaz Hathaway. And before we begin with today's Near Death Experience, I want to make the wonderful announcement. The new website is up. And so now all of the episodes that come will be on neardeathexperiencepodcast.org. That's Near Death Experience Podcast, no spaces, dashes, or anything. neardeathexperiencepodcast.org. So come there to get further episodes. If you're getting it from iTunes, you shouldn't see any difference, except that now you can see the descriptions and the category is spirituality instead of Buddhism. I'm still not clear on how that happened, but you're seeing descriptions, you're seeing everything looks okay now. There's little tweaks on the website I still would like to do, and maybe adding some pages and so forth. If you first go there and you're like, oh, there's nothing here, just start scrolling down. Instantly you'll find, depending on your page size, if you're on a phone or something, you'll probably see it immediately, but you may see that it looks just like a big picture with a near-death experience podcast, an exploration of life in the spirit world, with nowhere to click except something that refreshes the page. If you just scroll down, because there is a little arrow that says, kind of pointing, scroll down, keep going. Maybe I'll fix that someday, but for now, just scroll on down and you'll see it all there. And it should have all the episodes that we have done so far. You'll see that they'll be much easier to get to, much easier to download. The player is a little bit nicer. You can scroll around. You don't have to just either listen or download as your only two choices. And so I'm really hoping this helps out with people being able to easily access, easily listen, and easily download the podcast. So let's go ahead and get started. We're going to share the near-death experience of Dr. George Rodinia. Now, something unique about George's experience, or I should say the situation that led up to it, he was being assassinated by the secret police in Russia. And I believe he was in Russia at the time and understandably has since moved to the United States. Yeah, he was in Moscow. He worked as a research psychiatrist, and he was killed. And if you have any question about that, just consider the fact that he woke up, not just in the morgue, but in the autopsy. They had already made the first incision to cut him open to do an autopsy because they were suspicious. Something was weird about this and so forth. And so, wow, the way people die, my goodness. And coming back in that kind of a situation, awkward for the autopsyists. Yeah. Anyway, so his experience is quite beautiful. Okay, so let's get into it. The first thing I remember about my near-death experience is that I discovered myself in a realm of total darkness. I had no physical pain. I was still somehow aware of my existence as George, and all about me there was darkness, utter and complete darkness, the greatest darkness ever, darker than dark, blacker than any black. This was what surrounded me and pressed upon me. I was horrified. I wasn't prepared for this at all. I was shocked to find that I still existed, but I didn't know where I was. The one thought that kept rolling through my mind was, how can I be when I'm not? That is what troubled me. Slowly I got a grip on myself and began to think about what had happened, what was going on. But nothing refreshing or relaxing came to me. Why am I in this darkness? What am I to do? Then I remembered Descartes' famous line, I think, therefore I am. And that took a huge burden off me, for it was then that I knew for certain I was still alive, although obviously in a different dimension. Then I thought, if I am, why shouldn't I be positive? That is what came to me. I'm George, and I'm in darkness, but I know I am. I am what I am. I must not be negative. Then the thought, how can I define what is positive in darkness? Well, positive is light. Then, suddenly, I was in light, bright white, shiny and strong, a very bright light. It was like the flash of a camera, but not flickering. That light, constant brightness. At first I found the brilliance of the light painful. I couldn't look directly at it, but little by little I began to relax. I began to feel warm, comforted, and everything suddenly seemed fine. The next thing that happened was that I saw all these molecules flying around, atoms, protons, neutrons, just flying everywhere. On the one hand, it was totally chaotic. Yet what brought me such great joy was that this chaos had its own symmetry. The symmetry was beautiful and unified and whole, and it flooded me with tremendous joy. I saw the universal form of light and nature laid out before my eyes. It was at this point that any concern I had for my body just slipped away, because it was clear to me that I didn't need it anymore, that it was actually a limitation. Everything in this experience merged together, so it is difficult for me to put an exact sequence to the events. Time as I had known it came to a halt. Past, present, and future were somehow fused together for me in the timeless unity of life. At some point, I underwent what has been called the life review process, for I saw my life from beginning to end all at once. I participated in the real-life dramas of my life, almost like a holographic image of my life going on before me. No sense of past, present, or future, just now and the reality of my life. It wasn't as though it started with my birth and ran along to my life at the University of Moscow. It all appeared at once. There it was. There was my life. I didn't experience any sense of guilt or remorse for things I'd done. I didn't feel one way or another about my failures, faults, or achievements. All felt was my life for what it was, and I was content with that. I accepted my life for what it was. During this time, the light just radiated a sense of peace and joy to me. It was very positive. I was so happy to be in the light, and I understood what the light meant. I learned that all the physical roles for human life were nothing when compared to this unitive reality. I also came to see that a black hole is only another part of that infinity which is light. I came to see that reality is everywhere, that it is not simply the earth life, but the infinite life. Everything is not only connected together, everything is also one. So I felt a wholeness with the light, a sense that all is right with me and the universe. I could be anywhere instantly, really there. I tried to communicate with the people I saw. Some sensed my presence, but no one did anything about it. I felt it necessary to learn about the Bible and philosophy. You want, you receive. Think, and it comes to you. So I participated. I went back and lived in the minds of Jesus and his disciples. I heard their conversations, experienced eating, passing wine, smells, tastes, yet I had no body. I was pure consciousness. If I didn't understand what was happening, an explanation would come. But no teacher spoke. I explored the Roman Empire, Babylon, the times of Noah and Abraham. Any era you can name, I went there. So there I was, flooded with all these good things and this wonderful experience. When someone begins to cut into my stomach, can you imagine? What had happened was that I was taken to the morgue. I was pronounced dead and left there for 3 days. An investigation into the cause of my death was set up. So they sent someone out to do an autopsy on me. As they began to cut into my stomach, I felt as though some great power took hold of my neck and pushed me down. And it was so powerful that I opened my eyes and had this huge sense of pain. My body was cold and I began to shiver. They immediately stopped the autopsy and took me to the hospital, where I remained there for the following 9 months, most of which I spent under a respirator. Slowly I regained my health, but I would never be the same again, because all I wanted to do for the rest of my life was study wisdom. This new interest led me to attend the University of Georgia, where I took my second PhD in the psychology of religion. Then I became a priest in the Eastern Orthodox Church. Eventually, in 1989, we came to America, and I am now working as an associate pastor at the First United Methodist Church in Nederland, Texas. Many people have asked me what I believe in, how my near-death experience changed my life. All I can say is that I now believe in the God of the universe. Unlike many other people, however, I have never called God the light, because God is beyond our comprehension. God, I believe, is even more than the light, because God is also darkness. God is everything that exists, everything. And that is beyond our ability to comprehend at all. So I don't believe in the God of the Jews, or of the Christians, or of the Hindus, or in any religion's idea of what God is or is not. It's all the same God, and that God has showed me the universe in which we live is a beautiful and marvelous mystery that is connected together forever and for always. Anyone who has had such an experience with God, who has felt such a profound sense of connection with reality, knows that there is only one truly significant work to do in this life, and that is love. To love nature, to love people, to love animals, to love creation itself, just because it is. To serve God's creation with a warm and loving hand of generosity and compassion. That is the only meaningful existence. And I'm going to go ahead and stop there. He goes on and talks a little bit, shares some experiences on this website from PMH Atwater, her insights on his experience and so forth. I'm going to go ahead and stop there. And I will tell you, too, this is on ndestories.org. That's NDE stories without any dashes or spaces. And then you can also do /doctor/dr/george-rodenaya. But if you just go to ndestories.org, you can scroll down to Dr. George Rodenaya's experience. Interesting stuff, eh? There's a few things that stood out to me. One is, and I've heard this before, or things similar to this, as he's rushing along after the darkness, okay, and then, well, let's start with that, actually. The darkness is so thick and intense. I've heard it described as a physical darkness. It's not just that you're standing in, you know, empty space without stars. It's that it's a thick, almost pressing blackness. Some people describe it as like he says, pressing, as kind of this tension about it. Others describe it as this warm, velvety, almost womb-like. You know, there's just this warmth and comfort in it. Others, you know, in this blackness and not knowing where they are, what's going on, can be a little bit panicky, but some people feel this intense love as well. Most people just feel a general calmness. They just feel like, oh, okay, this is interesting. I wonder how long I'm going to be here, you know. But anyway, he says that the moment he thought, well, what is positivity? Well, first he thinks I'm going to be positive. If I'm going to exist still and just in this blackness, I'm going to be positive. But wait a minute, what is positive? Well, positive is light. And the instant he thinks that, he's completely surrounded by light. It almost makes me wonder if the light or the darkness is something of a last, I don't know, a place where the body prepares for light. Now, some people see the pinpoint of light in the darkness and then start rushing toward it. In this case, he is suddenly, wham, he's just in the light. It's just the moment he thinks, what is positive? Well, positive is light. And suddenly, and it was like the flash of a camera, but it doesn't flicker. It just and stays bright. It's interesting that he says at first the brilliance of was painful, but and he couldn't look directly at it, but little by little he began to relax. I don't know if that's an off spring of the human experience of having bright light blind you, and he just reacted that way, whoa, 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 and it kind of scared and you know, it therefore seemed somehow unpleasant to him for a moment in some way, or if it really was somehow slightly, you know, painful. But either way, he's in this light, and as he relaxed, he began to feel warm, comforted, and everything seemed to be fine. And then he sees, this is the part I wanted to get to, he sees these molecules flying around, atoms, protons, neutrons, just flying everywhere. My first question is, how would you recognize a proton or an atom? I mean, do you just see these models that science shows us of protons, neutrons, whatever? Because my understanding is we don't have an exact idea of their precise shape and so forth. In fact, if I understand right, you've got this proton or neutron or whatever, and you know, the electrons shooting around it, and the distance between them is similar to the distance from the sun to the planets. I mean, it's that big of a, you know, contrast between the different things. So just seeing one, you're not going to associate it with the other necessarily, you know. So it's not like you're going to see this ball with another ball spinning around it. If you see one ball, the other ball is probably 1,000 miles away spinning around it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what exactly does an atom look like? Same with a molecule. It's kind of similar, the distances and so forth, and the shapes and so forth. You know, how would you recognize it? And yet, he may very well have been in this state like most spirits are, where there's this expanded awareness and he sees something flying about and he recognizes it as molecules and atoms and protons, neutrons. Or perhaps, you know, like some people actually see equations forming in the sky around them, and they'll see mathematical numbers and just whipping through these, you know, numerical things. Now, numbers are you know, contrived language characters and so forth. And so their representation in this sphere, in this life, manner of life, whatever you would call this, may be represented in any number of ways, which means seeing that, seeing, you know, these molecules and atoms and so forth, or the representations of them, could have been a representation of something, but maybe it was that there was these molecules and atoms, and that he was comprehending them as the spirit, and he's kind of overcome by them, because he says it, on the one hand, it was totally chaotic, yet what brought me such great joy was that this chaos also had its own symmetry. He was starting to get the symmetry of molecules, atoms, protons. And it makes me wonder, was he just somewhere in space, for example, and there was light, and those molecules and so forth were just what is around in the air? Or, you know, was this some representation for him? I don't know. Anyway, very interesting. He says that everything in this experience merged together. And then he talks about his life review, which his is kind of interesting, because while some people talk about, you know, it flashing, you know, so quickly, like 20 seconds, and it's his whole life, and he comprehended it all. Others, in his case, it was like, wham, and it was all just there. Which is interesting, too, because that's how the light was for him. The light was just there in front of him. And then his life is in front of him. You know, so maybe there's something to his experience that he would comprehend it best being slammed with it, if you will. And he says there was no sequence to it, but he saw everything. He saw all of it, every bit of it. Interesting. And then he talks about the light a little bit more. He found the light to be very positive. He says, I was so happy to be in the light, and I understood what the light meant. I learned that all the physical rules for human life were nothing when compared to this unit of reality. I also came to see that a black hole is only part of that infinity, which is light. And he says, I came to see that reality is everywhere. That is not simply the earth, that it is not simply the earthly life, but the infinite life. Everything is not only connected together, everything is also one. So I felt a wholeness with the light, a sense that that all is right with me and the universe. Everything is perfect as it should be. Beautiful, beautiful. And his is an interesting one in the sense of, you know, that detail aspect. We've talked about that. And I keep bringing it up simply because I think it helps to put some context into some of these things. He is apparently not a detail guy. Or maybe this is just a sample from... PMH Atwater says the only regret I have about his situation, because he has since died. This man has since died after writing this account much later. But he's died, but she says the only regret that I have about his life is that he didn't write a book. And I think I have to agree with her. And yet, maybe that wasn't his life calling. But he says... You know, at first, you know, when I read this through before, I was like, oh, he just had an experience with the light. It was profound, beautiful, and then he's back in his body. But that's not what he says. And he says that he participated. He says, I went back into the minds of Jesus and his disciples. I heard their conversations, experienced eating, passing smells, tastes. Yet I had no body. I was pure consciousness. He saw the Roman Empire. He explored Babylon. He went to the times of Noah and Abraham. Any era you can name, he says, I went there. Basically saw the history of the world. Now, admittedly, I don't see anything here about him going to any landscape, any house of learning, or some of these other places that you would say that he went or entered heaven. But he clearly went to a light, which may have been the infinite light, which he calls God, which fits. And then he went and explored history. I mean, how cool is that? How cool is that? And then, when he gets back, all he could think about was studying wisdom. So he studies the psychology of religion. He becomes Eastern Orthodox Church priest and a associate pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Texas. And so he kind of devotes his life to this study. And then I find it interesting that he... goes on and says, I believe in the God of the universe. He says, unlike, you know, the God of the Jews or the God of the Christians or Hindus or whatever, he says, I just believe that all things are God. Light is God, you know, darkness is God, and so forth. And the reason I find that interesting is because, I mean, with the insight he had, clearly he knows what he's saying. And if we try to take semantics out of the question, you know, how much of my assumption about what he's saying is semantics, because some people would say, well, no, I believe that God is a person, and then others say, no, I believe that God is everywhere, everything, and so forth. In a sense, you may be playing around with semantics there, because as I think everybody would agree that it seems that all these near-death experiences, I should say, that have had these experiences, tend to agree that everything they see is just this ongoing chorus of the glorifying of God and the glorifying of the light and of the universe. And some people could say from that they are all God. I think that's understandable that someone would come to that conclusion. And yet to those who have come face to face with God and spoken to his person, looked into his eyes, they may not have the same wording for it. They may say, I saw God individually, his face, I spoke to him, and I know he is an independent being. And yet, the universe is so one with him that you could call it all part of him. And so I don't think we need to get caught up too much in the question of, is God everywhere, or is God in one place at any given time, or so forth. Not to mention the fact that, remember, time, location, attention, all those things, not factors with spiritual things. Don't ask me why, don't ask me how, that just seems to be the case. So, if you are uncomfortable with the idea of God being everywhere, or uncomfortable with the idea of God being in one place, I don't think there's any necessity of having discomfort in those differences, and I don't think there's any need for us to argue about those differences. Honestly, I think it's mostly a semantics game. And if we were to really spell out in any grand detail how this looks in some eternal way, I think we would come to an agreed, fairly close agreement of how the universe works and who God is and so forth. And I just say that because my first reaction when I read, you know, that God is everything, God is everywhere, was kind of like, well, you know, and I started getting my well-trained Christian mind saying, wait a minute, you know, then who appeared to Moses or whatever? And then I stopped myself and said, wait a second, though. You got to remember that you're looking at this from your limited physical perspective, which is one that tries to find argument rather than stepping back and saying, could it be that the differences I'm perceiving, could it be that they're semantics? It's a semantics game that just by redefining or placing different words in their place, that we can come to a clearer picture of something that we all tend to agree on for the most part. And I think that's the case. I think that's the case for most beliefs, honestly. And when we discover new things, often it's not that we are getting rid of what we once believed, but rather we are expanding on the beliefs that we have. And it's true that sometimes we have to reject old beliefs when they don't match up with later beliefs, but more often it's an expansion on what we already understood. And that makes sense because we're spirits that have come into these broken mortal human bodies for this grand experience of mortality. And part of our role is to learn and to experience the mortal in its fullness. Pain, suffering, trials, overcoming, learning, love, 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 all at the same time. So, anyway, I think that's really cool. So, before we finish up, I want to reiterate our contact information here. We have a phone number, 970-633-2278, which is also 970-NDE-CAST. Call, ask a question, share an experience. You can also email at neardeathexperiencepodcast@gmail.com. And if you share your name, we will share your name on there. Unless you don't want it shared, then say otherwise, whatever. I would love to share on the podcast. your questions and experiences. Also, you can record yourself on your phone or some other recording device, or directly to your computer, and then upload it either to, send it as an attachment in an email. If it won't let you do that, you can always upload to something like archive.org and then send a link or whatever through the email, and I will get that through that means. It's never been easier in the history of the world to send audio, you guys. And I say this as one who has done a lot with audio, and I don't, even if you want to send me if it's easier for you to do a YouTube thing, recording on your phone, do it to YouTube. I can share audio from a YouTube video on the podcast. That's not hard for me to convert it to MP3. So please, whatever you want to do. And if you'd prefer, I can link the video, or I can put a embedded video on the podcast. I want to share your experiences. I want you to share your experiences, because this is a great time that we're living in, when near-death experiences can be shared in ways that go so far beyond what was possible before. It used to be you have to either just talk to people around you or write a book and hope somebody will be willing to publish it. Now, there are means to share this stuff. And as it is, we have an audience here who is an eager audience, who wants to hear these things, who believes these things and wants to hear. So it's a great opportunity for you to share your experience with others who will understand, or who will definitely, definitely try. So with that, thank you, all of you, for listening.